Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has voiced disappointment with the EU debate on migration in Salzburg. Mr. Babiš told the BBC he would like to see a new referendum on Brexit. And 28 senators have sent an open letter to the Czech Prime Minister urging him to take steps enabling the country to admit 50 Syrian orphans. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has hailed the idea to hold a summit of EU and African states, but voiced disappointment with the EU debate on migration at an informal summit in Salzburg. Mr. Babiš said that some politicians are still insisting on the redistribution of illegal migrants, which took the debate a few years back. The Prime Minister said the fact that some EU politicians seem to have come to terms with a flow of illegal migrants to Europe was an invitation to people smugglers, and criticised the fact that the EU had not agreed on more concrete measures how to fight them. As regards Frontex, Babiš said it was essential to clear up the agency's role in the future. He earlier stressed it would be good if Frontex operated outside of Europe rather than duplicating the coast guards of individual member states. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš said in an interview for the BBC that he was very unhappy that the UK is leaving the bloc and he would like to see the country hold another referendum that might overturn the result. Maltese Prime Minister Josef Muscat expressed a similar position. Speaking to EU leaders in Salzburg, the British Prime Minister Theresa May ruled out such a possibility, saying the UK would not push back the deadline in negotiations or hold another referendum on Brexit. 28 Czech senators have sent an open letter to Prime Minister Andrej Babiš urging him to take steps enabling the Czech Republic to admit 50 Syrian orphans from overcrowded camps in Greece. The signatories of the letter say that orphans in need deserve unconditional and immediate help, and the Czech Republic should be among the countries offering this kind of assistance. Among the signatories is the Speaker of the Upper Chamber, Milan Štěch, of the Social Democrats. The Prime Minister earlier rejected the idea of taking in 50 orphans, saying the country was not ready to accept migrants and this case was no different. 16 more community centres for mental health will open around the country in the coming years, Health Minister Adam Vojtěch announced at the opening of such a centre in Prague's Prosek district on Thursday. The building of a network of mental health community centres is part of an attempt to erase the stigma surrounding mental health problems and enable patients who have been released from hospital to continue getting professional aid and advice. The understanding is that more patients will also approach such a centre in the event of problems. 5 such centres were built this year and their number should reach 30 by 2021. The Popular Czech Music Awards Český Slavík, or the Czech Nightingale, will not be held this year, the Daily Pravo reported, citing Jaroslav Těšinský of the Muzika Bohemica agency organising the event. The winners of the competition are chosen in a public poll, and the organisers want to set down new rules and prevent the present system of online voting from being abused. This is being done at the instigation of the competition's main sponsor after last year's results in the best band category were questioned. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Friday should bring clear to partly cloudy skies with temperatures between 25 and 29 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Still to come in the program, the Czech Republic ranks 26th in a quality of life index compiled by non-profit organizations. And Czechs with a passion for mushroom hunting have reason to cheer. Later on, we'll be speaking to Czech hardy man Jaroslav Chytil, who recently made headlines by conquering the North Channel. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic ranked 26th on the newly published Social Progress Index compiled by the global non-profit Social Progress Imperative, together with the international consultancy Deloitte, among others. Of the new EU member states, only Slovenia ranked higher. Brian Kennedy spoke with Deloitte Czech Republic head Josef Kotrba about the country's ranking as it went from 22nd to 26th place.
There are few things which reduce comparability with the previous years. It's also that few other countries were involved in the ranking, which rank higher than Czech Republic. There are also tiny variations, such as, for example, that we dropped in perceived crime rate, i.e. what people feel, although in reality, crime rate is in general dropping in Czech Republic. And that happens. This is not unusual that people perceive something differently than the statistical figures, because people don't take their feelings from statistics and mostly also not from their own personal opinion. They take it indirectly from media, from social media and other sources. And when the picture is being painted black, they might perceive that it's darkening, although in reality it's not true.
And more objectively, as an international consultancy, Deloitte certainly follows very closely things such as housing.
Well, I think that you spotted one indicator which was driving Czech Republic down, and I think is fully embedded in reality, and that's accessibility of affordable shelter. The prices of apartments are increasing steeply, and it's progressively difficult for young people to purchase or rent an adequate apartment.
Would you say that that has been the most dramatic change?
It's a new indicator in the survey, but in the same time, yes, it's one of the important ones.
How is the Czech Republic doing, in your view, on the most important indicators as compared to, for example, the Visegrad countries?
Czech Republic is more advanced compared to this peer group, and that's fully reflected in the index.
Okay. Is there anything you would like specifically to add to help people understand the relevance of this survey and perhaps how accurate it really is, apart from perceived levels of crime?
As many other surveys of this type, it combines objective data, which you can easily measure, with more subjective indicators. It is important because, in reality, the way how we live our lives is not driven by measurable things only, but also on how we feel. Of course, the more distant you are from the exactly measurable things, the more space for imprecision or imperfection there is. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore these soft indicators.
Deloitte Czech Republic head Josef Kotrba speaking there to Radio Prague's Brian Kennedy. And now, staying on the subject of Czech lifestyle, conditions in the last 2 weeks of September are often among the best for engaging in a favourite Czech pastime, mushroom picking. In early autumn, temperatures cool so the morning dew doesn't evaporate quickly, giving forest fungi just the right amount of dampness to thrive, Brian Kennedy reports.
The weather outlook in the Czech Republic this weekend is for cloudy skies with a chance of light rain and temperatures in the teens. Perfect conditions for hunting mushrooms, which means that if you are planning a walk in just about any coniferous forest, you are bound to come across a wide variety of knife-wielding Czechs in search of some of the 35 different kinds of edible mushrooms that grow here. According to the University of Life Sciences annual report, Czechs picked around 27,700 tons of mushrooms last year, which is about 7 kilos per household, with a street value of about 4.6 billion crowns. Last year's yields of the forest fungi were boosted by favorable weather conditions, meaning enough rainfall and humidity. But the summer of 2018 was among the hottest on record. So, are there mushrooms to be had?
Tak víte, co kamarádka tvrdí, že nic neroste, ale my s manželem jsme vášniví houbaři. My už to tady známe.
My friend says nothing grows, but my husband and I are passionate about mushrooms. We know the terrain here and we ride our bikes, so we cover a lot of ground and can always find something. This year we found about 40 penny buns.
Jsme našli asi 40 praváků, takže já jsem spokojená.
That was Christina, one of countless Prague residents who plan ever more frequent escapes to the forest while the getting is good. She is especially proud to have collected so many of the prized and rather sticky Boletus variety with the round reddish brown caps. Jana, another mushroom enthusiast encountered on the trail, has proven less adept in the hunter-gatherer department, and her special purpose woven basket is far from overflowing.
To tell you the truth, it hasn't really been worth it. Last year we had a full basket, and this year, look in the basket, nothing to write home about.
Jiří Burel, author of The Atlas of Mushrooms, confirms that thus far the pickings have indeed been slim.
A wave of mushroom growth is beginning, which will surely please all expert mushroom hunters and laymen alike, because the mushroom that will grow most are the Hřib Smrkový or Boletus edulis type. This season has been well below average, but we expect that, if the weather is good, the big wave will peak in the next 14 days.
If you are a layperson and do fancy giving mushroom picking a go this rainy weekend, bear in mind the old Czech adage, "Všechny hobby jsou jedle, ale některé jenom jedno." That translates as, "Every mushroom is edible, but some only once."
Brian Kennedy there with some smart advice from the country's coniferous forests. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Czech hardyman Jaroslav Chytil recently made headlines by conquering the North Channel. The strait between Northern Ireland and southwestern Scotland is considered to be the hardest channel swim in the world, and few have managed to complete the crossing. Jaroslav is the 58th person in the world to do so. I spoke to him on his return and began by asking what had made him take on this particular challenge.
This channel... It's a challenge because of the icy water, and because I do winter swimming for a couple of years, so.
But you're not a professional swimmer.
No. I'm not professional. I just started 2011 winter swimming, and I can't stay in this kind of water for a very, very long time. So. I choose this very tough swim.
Basically as a challenge, just to see if you can make it.
Yeah, I would like to make it.
You swam 42 kilometers. I think it's 35, isn't it? 35 is the crossing.
Yeah, it's just 35 or 34.5. But because of the currents, swimmers usually swim longer.
You swam 42,
and
you swam it in how many? In 16 hours?
Yes, 16 hours and 4 minutes.
And basically just in swimming trunks, we should say. You weren't allowed anything else.
Yeah, just the swimming cap, goggles, and a swimming suit.
What was worst about it? Cold water, jellyfish. People say there are lots of hurdles on the way.
Yeah. I think the jellyfish was the worst. There are the five kinds of jellyfishes, but the lion's mane is the worst. And in the cold water, there was, I would like say, almost nothing. It's like a hard nettle. You can feel it like something like this, but... Then I was getting warmer, so my veins transported a lot of poison from these creatures. So it was scratchy, and the feeling was that I'm a little bit drunk, but I was not using any hard spirits.
So you just had to concentrate very hard on swimming and not thinking about
it.
What kind of assistance do you get from the boat accompanying you?
Just feeding, because I couldn't touch the boat and or somebody else. So every 20 minutes they threw me a bottle with some...
Energy drink.
Yeah, energy.
Some mix.
Yeah. mostly the carbs and some minerals.
That was the only, basically for a few seconds you stop, you drink it and you carry on.
Yeah, because the feeding was so frequent, we have to be fast, just for 10, 15 minute seconds maximum. So.
And you said there are also cases where you can get depressed in the water because it seems endless. In that case, what happens? Someone can jump into the water briefly.
Yeah.
The company, but mustn't touch
it. It was possible, but we decided not to do this. I've decided to focus on my swim, and I have my crisis about 10th, 11th hour, but after all,
You overcame it.
Yeah, I overcame it, and I was swimming really fast. I was in a really good shape, so my stroke rate, there was no dropout. I was swimming about 60 strokes per minute, so I just swimming. And
how do you know where you were? Do you actually get messages from the boat?
Yeah, on the boat there was a whiteboard, and the communication was very hard because I had earplugs in my ears and I couldn't hear very well. So they wrote me messages on a whiteboard. So the distance and
what
the stroke rate.
What kind of messages do they actually write? Do they say go faster, or do they give you support via those messages? What kind of things do they write?
Both of them, the technical information, where I am, how long I am swimming, because the time is very subjective feeling. And also, I have my cell phone on a boat, and my friends wrote me messages. And the best of the messages, they were on a whiteboard. I had a huge support from my family. Daddy, keep swimming, don't give up. You are the best daddy in the world. So it was very, very nice to read it. So you can read it when you are swimming. You there is no need to stop. And also a lot of friends wrote me this positive messages on a board. So, you are in a cold water. It's a kind of depressive feeling because you are swimming for a very long time. And there are the jellyfishes, which was a disaster. This summer they were overpopulated. There were hundreds of stings. So it was very, very hard time sometimes.
You said you had a brief crisis. Was there a point where you just wanted to quit, where you thought, I had enough?
There was an idea to quit, to give it up, but I don't have this attitude, so I don't like to give it up.
So you kept going?
Yeah, I kept going. I have some slight pain in my muscles, and I was tired. But there was a low tide close to the Scottish shore. I was in a really good shape and I was swimming fast. There was a current against me.
And you were swimming against the tide.
Yeah, so I was swimming on one place, and when there was a feeding time, I was
going backward.
So,
no. And you said that when you could see the Scottish coast, it didn't mean that you would soon be there. Basically, you said that it stayed that way for a long time. That it didn't seem you didn't seem to be moving any closer. Right, that went on for hours.
Yeah, it was for hours, so it was very depressive, and I decided to don't look in that direction.
Where and how long did you train for this? Because the Czech Republic doesn't have a sea coast, so how come you're so good?
I was swimming in rivers, lakes mostly, also in a swimming pool, because I was training for this for 2 years, and when we have winter, I cannot swim 90 or 100 kilometers per month, so I have to swim also in a swimming pool. But when the spring came, I decided to swim outside, you know, the lakes and rivers.
So if someone out there is considering trying this, what they need to do to be in such good shape is to swim, well, 100 kilometers a month?
Yeah, basically you have to swim about 100 kilometers per month. But last 3 months, you have to swim more. Like at the end, I was swimming 50 kilometers per week.
What was uppermost in your mind when you actually reached the shore, when you got there?
Yeah, you know, it was a very long foreplay. So it was very, very nice feeling. And I was very happy. Tired, but very happy.
You also swam to raise money for a good cause.
Yeah, there is a foundation, Dětská dopravní nadace.
For children who have lost their parents.
Yeah, when there are car accidents and the parents died, so this foundation cares about the children that lost their parents.
Finally, if you manage to conquer the hardest channel in the world, what are your future plans? Because some people start with easier crossings. Even La Manche is said to be easier. So where are you going from here?
Yeah, I would like to swim Lake Baikal, because the first man almost 30 years ago was Czech. Jan Novák with František Venslovský, but it will be very hard to swim in this lake. Even the Russians have respect for this lake, you know. It's about 10 or 11 degrees Celsius in the middle of the summer, and there is also a problem that this temperature is just the higher layer of the water, just 1 meter. If there is a wind, it's going to be mixed. And after all, you can swim for 1 kilometer in 4 degrees Celsius. So it's a very tough swim. So that's the next challenge.
We should say that you are the hardiest man in the Czech Republic. You are a member of the hardy men's and women's club in this country, aren't you? But you are the hardiest man here. How long can you stand in cold water? What's your record?
Yeah, my record is 63 minutes.
In what temperature?
In 4.1 degrees Celsius. And there was a guy in 2006 who was swimming longer, but they have to pull him out, and then he was on an intensive care unit. So I'm not counting this guy. So I would like to say that I'm the hardiest. It's really good for physical body and also for the mental state.
Health. Right. Mr. Yeah. Kittil, thank you very much. Thank you very much for your
time.
Thank
you.
Czech Hardiman Jaroslav Kittil there, and I'm afraid that's all from us here at Radio Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, our email is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you. And of course, you can follow Radio Prague on Facebook and Twitter. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.